The next few moments are critical to our study of the Word of God this morning. We have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary, the importance of shifting gears into strict academic discipline, which means no talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would be disturbing or distracting to those who are serious students of the Word of God. You have a few moments of privacy, the opportunity of preparing for the most important thing we do in this life. Let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, have the opportunity of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray now that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You will notice a slight change in our format this morning. No quoting from the Word of God, and then turning to a passage. Really, we're going to turn to a lot of passages in the next two lessons, this morning and this evening, because we're going to deal with the subject of winners. Winners and losers. There's nothing worse than for a Christian to be a loser. Every believer who lives in the cosmic system is a loser all the way. And what happens to losers in eternity shouldn't happen to a dog with hydrophobia. Eternity in heaven is for all believers, and there's no way you can lose your salvation. But there are tremendous degrees of happiness and blessing forever and ever and ever in heaven. The name of the doctrine which is necessary for our continued study of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 is the profile of a winner. In point one, the winner is defined. One, both in time and in eternity, believers are classified into two categories: winners or losers. Two, the winners are believers who live in the divine dynosphere, learning Bible doctrine, passing the momentum tests, advancing to maturity, fulfilling the plan of God and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, the losers are believers who live in the cosmic system, servants of Satan, constantly under the control of their old sin nature. We call that carnality. Involved in both motivational and functional evil. Four, losers are Christians who fail in time, but they do not lose their salvation. However, Christians who are losers in time do occupy an inferior place in heaven and have no authority in the millennium, which means no impact on history. Five, winners are described in Revelation 2 and 3 by the present active participle of the verb nikao. That's N-I-K-A-O. It is used seven times in our context. Revelation 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 26. We'll be studying it very shortly in verse 26 again. And then three times in the third chapter of Revelation, verses 5, 12, and 21. 6. In each case, the participle is translated like a noun, which is a legitimate use, grammatical use in the Greek. And therefore, it is translated consistently, the winner, the winner, the winner. Point 7. All historical blessing and prosperity in the church age results from unknown and unnamed persons who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, living in the divine dynasphere. We noted Friday some of the great people of history, like Caesar, Frederick the Great, Napoleon. These are names in history. These are people about whom a great deal is written. But those who have the greatest influence on history are not even mentioned in historical textbooks. So point 7, all historical blessing and prosperity in the church age results from unknown and unnamed persons, believers living inside the divine dynasphere and advancing to spiritual maturity, forming the pivot of the client nation. Point 8, these mature believers we are going to also call winners. These winners provide blessing by association and historical uptrend not recorded in any human history book of the world. Point 9, therefore, these believers who are winners are unknown, anonymous, unsung heroes of history during the church age. They have used the hidden manna of Bible doctrine and other provisions of logistical grace to advance from gate 4 to gate 8 of the divine dynasphere. The divine dynasphere is the plan of God for the church age. Gate 1, the filling of the Spirit. Gate 2, basic impersonal love. Gate 3, enforced in genuine humility. Gate 1 is spiritual IQ. Gate 2 is objectivity in learning doctrine. Gate 3 is teachability in learning doctrine. Gate 4 is perception and application of doctrine, the momentum gate. Gate 5, love of God. Gate 6, right man, right woman, where pertinent. Gate 7, friendship, advanced impersonal love. Gate 8 is spiritual maturity, the construction of the edification complex of the soul. Believers who advance to gate 8 contribute to the historical uptrend of the client nation, which at the time of writing was SPQR, Senatus Populusque Romanus, the Roman Empire, but today is USA, the United States of America at the present time is a client nation to God. On the basis of the historical trends, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. The winner, then, is the secret to national and historical blessing in this life and in this dispensation. These Christian heroes of history are anonymous today, but they will be well known at a future point in history, and they will take a prominent place in the last 1,000 years of human history. As the resurrection of the church is called the rapture, it becomes a major issue because at that time they will receive what is called a white pebble, a resurrection body. We've noted that already in Revelation 2:17. They will be knighted with a new name or title, and they will become the most well-known of all people in history. Being born again is being born twice. You are born once physically. When you believe in Christ, you are born again. Cracking the maturity barrier, reaching maturity as an anonymous individual as far as world history is concerned is very important, because it means although you are anonymous now in the church age, you will be the most famous of people in the millennium. So just as the mature believer is born twice, he gets two cracks at history. And he will have the greatest and most permanent of all fame in the last 1,000 years of history. It is the objective then of this profile to present the doctrine that the anonymous believers with maximum historical impact today will be famous at a future time in history. Point two, the winner will be at the rapture of the church. So will a lot of believers who are not winners. Winners and losers will be there, but this is the profile of a winner. So point two begins with the winner at the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, which in corrected translation sounds like this. But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Church age believers who have died and gone to heaven, the physical body is said to be in the grave and sleeping. This is an analogy, because receiving the resurrection body is like waking up in the morning. Losers, of course, will wake up with a hangover. But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve like the rest do. The grief of the unbeliever at the grave of a loved one is hopeless. But for those whose loved ones have accepted Christ, it is a time of recognition of victory. O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, first class condition, and we do, therefore God, Jesus Christ, will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this doctrine, in the word of the Lord, we communicate to you that we who are alive remain until the coming of our Lord, the rapture of the church, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Body sleep of physical death is analogous to waking up in resurrection. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a command, not a shout, a command. There are two kinds of commands, with the voice of the archangel, also a command from the trumpet of God. In fact, the dead will rise first. The voice command of the archangel is for living believers on the earth at the rapture. But this is when the mortal becomes immortal by resurrection. The trumpet command is for the resurrection of dead believers. Corruption is turned into incorruption through the resurrection as per the trumpet command of 1 Corinthians 15:52. Verse 17 then adds, then we who are alive and remain on earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the purpose of meeting the Lord in the air. And we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort each other with these doctrines. Now the great comfort comes to the believer who in time advances to maturity. He's going to be there. The resurrection of the royal family of God includes every believer from the time the dispensation began, somewhere between 30 and 32 A.D., right down to whenever the rapture occurs. It could occur tonight, tomorrow, or 1,000 years from now. And everyone who will be there will have a resurrection body. The winners will be there with a resurrection body, and so will the losers. Anyone who's ever coached learns to recognize several things. First of all, talent in the whatever he's coaching, football, baseball, basketball, track. Then he recognizes something else. Some members of the team are automatic losers, whether they have talent or not. And some are automatic winners. It's a difference in the soul. It's a difference of mental attitude. It's a difference of thought pattern. It's a difference of perspective in life. And winners have great happiness and time, but they have something that we will be studying for the next couple of hours, which is absolutely phenomenal. So point two, we note that the winners will be at the rapture. Point three, the winners will participate also in the big genuflex in the sky. This is mentioned in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It is a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Losers are going to glorify God whether they want to or not. Point four, the winner is going to be decorated. Now we're going to see some differences because after the big genuflex, the winners and the losers are going to be separated. And there will be great inequality in heaven. But first, let's notice the one thing they all have in common in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Point three, the big genuflex in the sky. Therefore also, the God, God the Father, has exalted him, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the maximum, and has given him a name. This is our Lord's title of knighthood. It's the same name we will study in connection with winners. He has given him a name, our Lord's royal patron, which prepares the way for the new knighthood of Revelation 2:17, the new order of chivalry for the millennium and the eternal state. And has given him a name which is superior to every name, that in the presence of the person of Christ, every knee of heaven shall bow. This is right after the rapture of the church. This is the worship of the entire royal family of God. The winners and the losers will be there together. Both the ones on the earth, the believers who are alive at the time of the rapture, and the ones under the earth, the believers who died during the church age. And every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One thing is clear, winners and losers alike have the right perspective at the resurrection and thereafter. So the issue and the difference between winners and losers is not their attitude at the resurrection, it is their attitude in time, the attitude now. And this is reflected then by point four. The winner is decorated at the judgment seat of Christ. Winners and losers will be there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us, the royal family of God of the church age, may receive what is due him for the things accomplished while in the body, phase two time, whether good, winners, or evil, worthless, losers. The winner is described as good because he fulfilled the plan of God, X plus Y plus Z. The loser is described as ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 5:5, and hope does not make us ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, when it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, that he may receive what is due him for the things accomplished while in the body, whether good. Good is the Greek word agathos. Looks like this. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Good of intrinsic value. And that's X plus Y plus Z. X radical, human life imputed at birth by God, meaning that God has a purpose for the life of each believer. Plus Adam's original sin instant condemnation, setting up the first potential salvation, plus pertinent doctrine, soteriology, equals hope won, absolute confidence that when we believe in Christ, we have eternal life, plus salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why radical? Judicial imputation number one, our sins imputed to Christ on the cross and judged. Plus judicial imputation number two, which is the imputation of divine righteousness to every believer at salvation, setting up a second potential for a blessing in time. Plus the pertinent doctrine equals hope two, absolute confidence that by advancing from gate four to gate eight of the divine dynasphere, we will have great blessing and prosperity in time. Plus is maturity adjustment to the justice of God, the advance from gate four to gate eight. In Z radical, we have what happens to the winner and the loser. In Z radical is for winners only, mature believers. Eternal life was imputed at salvation. That means eternal reward. Plus, blessing in time, under the principle of a fortiori, blessing in time is merely a down payment on far, far greater reward and decoration in eternity. And this sets up the third potential, the one which distinguishes the winner from the loser forever and ever in heaven. The potential of great reward and blessing and decoration. Plus the pertinent doctrine equals hope three. Absolute confidence that when we advance to maturity in time, we are going to receive great reward and great decoration in eternity as winners. Where rewards and decorations we will note in some detail in this study. And this equals agathos, which I quoted this morning when I said to you, all things work together for good. All things being logistical grace, plus the plan of God, plus the divine dynasphere as the means of executing the plan of God. Now, losers are also going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, according to point four. Romans 5:5, and hope, that's hope three on the board, hope three of Z radical, does not make us ashamed. The winner will not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. It is the loser who is going to be ashamed. Therefore, the importance of that phrase from 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman who does not need to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And what keeps him from being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ? Rightly dividing or categorizing the word of truth. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest anticipation and hope, the third hope of Z radical, that I shall not be put to shame in anything at the judgment seat of Christ, but with all confidence, the third hope of Z radical, our motivating virtue of confidence toward God, Christ shall, even now as always, from the judgment seat of Christ to eternity, be glorified in my body, whether by life or by death. But the loser at the judgment seat of Christ, well, he's described in several passages. Philippians 3:18 and 19. For many cosmic believers or losers keep walking in the cosmic system, concerning whom I have communicated to you that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. They will die the sin unto death or maximum punishment, whose God is their emotion, holy rollers, and so on, whose glory is their shame. At the judgment seat of Christ, there is no glory for them. All they have is a resurrection body. Their glory is their shame, who keep thinking about earthly things. This is a result of cosmic involvement. So the drama of winners and losers at the judgment seat of Christ is emphasized by 1 John 2:28, which says, and now, dear children, all believers, keep residing in it, in the divine dynasphere, that if he, Christ, should appear, the rapture followed by the judgment seat of Christ, we might have confidence. That's the winner. The winner has confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. and might not be put to shame. That's the loser. By him in his presence. Two major decorations are given to the winners with maximum historical impact. And these are as high as any believer could ever go. For life in the divine dynasphere, there is a special decoration mentioned and studied previously in Revelation 2:10. Keep on becoming faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life is like the Distinguished Service Cross or the Navy Cross or the Air Force Cross. It is the highest decoration for living the Christian life, but not the highest decoration given. But it will be given prior to the awarding of the highest decoration that a human being can ever receive and hold forever and ever. For maximum historical impact, we will be studying this verse in detail, but this is the way it sounds in corrected translation. Revelation 2:28. Furthermore, I will give to him, the mature believer, the winner in time. I will give to him the order of the morning star. The highest decoration for life on this earth. The highest decoration for historical impact and for glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name for this highest decoration to the mature believer with maximum impact, the Order of the Morning Star. The name is derived from the title of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his strategic and tactical victory, our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Morning Star. For example, the strategic victory of the First Advent. Numbers 24:7, a star shall come from Jacob. That's the tactical victory of the First Advent. The tactical victory of the Second Advent, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we keep on having a more reliable doctrine. That is, a doctrine which is more reliable because it's in the Word, more reliable than the empiricism of Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. We keep on having a more reliable prophetic doctrine, with reference to which doctrine you perform honorably. This is a reference to the uniform of honor worn by winners in time, invisible since it is a uniform of the soul. It is the result of fulfilling the Royal Family Honor Code. It is the result of fulfilling motivating virtue and functional virtue inside the divine dynasphere. And we keep on having a more reliable prophetic doctrine, with reference to which doctrine you perform honorably, the uniform of honor in time, by habitually concentrating in your right lobes on the lamp shining in a dark place. The lamp shining in a dark place, Jesus Christ controls history. Even though Satan is the ruler of this world, the lamp shining in the dark place is Christ controlling history. And this happens until the day dawn, the second advent of Christ, and the morning star, our Lord Jesus Christ, has come. In the strategic victory of the first advent, in the tactical victory of the second advent, our Lord is called the morning star. The empirical experience of Peter, the first showing of the morning star's uniform of glory, is the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ is the morning star, and the uniform of glory is the translucent robe, a robe of light which he wears over his resurrection body. But even before our Lord received the resurrection body, the uniform of glory, to be contrasted with the uniform of honor in time, the uniform of glory in eternity was modeled for Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Our Lord said, and by way of prophecy, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here, Peter, James, and John, who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." And this prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 17, 1 and 2. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed before them. In fact, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. That introduces to us that which accompanies this decoration, the highest of all decorations, the Order of the Morning Star. It is the uniform of glory. First seen, first displayed, first modeled on the Mount of Transfiguration. And now, in the humanity of Christ, a constantly worn, a uniform of translucence, a uniform of light. The uniform of glory is how we will designate it. We will study both the morning star and the uniform of glory, but first, point five, the decoration of the morning star. Let's take them in order. Again, Revelation 2:28. "Furthermore, I will give to him, the mature believer, the winner, the order of the morning star, the highest decoration that God can give a human being, a decoration for historical impact, a decoration for life in the divine dynasphere as manifest by the crown of life." The decoration of the morning star includes the privilege of wearing the uniform of glory, a uniform of translucent light over the resurrection body. Revelation 3:4, anticipating the fact that we will be studying Revelation 3 one of these days. "But you have a few persons in Sardis," says Revelation 3:4, that is a pivot of mature believers living in the divine dynasphere, contributing to the historical uptrend plus national blessing. In other words, mature believers having maximum impact on history through their life in the divine dynasphere. "You have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes." That's a reference to the uniform of honor worn by the mature believer in time. The winner wears the uniform of honor in time. "In fact, they will walk with me in whites." It's in the plural, as we will see when we get there. In fact, they will walk with me in whites, the translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body, but worn by winners only. Believers who fulfill life in the cosmic system will have a resurrection body, but no uniform of glory. The uniform of glory is worn with the order of the morning star. The two go together. "In fact, they will walk with me in whites, because they are worthy," that is, they have been decorated with the order of the morning star. The decoration includes presentation in the court of heaven. While the tribulation is occurring on earth, a terrible time on earth, those who have had maximum historical impact through living in the divine dynasphere and advancing to maturity, that is, the winners, are going to be presented at court. The highest honor God can give a church-age believer. During the tribulation, they will be specifically presented in the court of heaven to God the Father. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 in corrected translation. "Thus the winner, the mature believer, decorated with the order of the morning star and wearing the uniform of glory, thus the winner shall be clothed in a white garment, the translucent uniform of glory worn by the winners of the morning star, the same translucent uniform worn by our Lord Jesus Christ as of the moment of His resurrection. Then it goes on to say, and I will never blot his name, the new knighthood, which accompanies the order of the morning star. I will never blot his name, the new knighthood, out of the book of life. In fact, I will acknowledge his name. I will acknowledge is the presentation of morning star winners in the court of heaven during the tribulation. His name, a new knighthood received at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, I will acknowledge his name in the presence of my Father and before his angels. Winners will be presented in the court of heaven. Losers will cool their heels in the second heaven. There is a separation between winners and losers in heaven at this stage. The order of the morning star includes a new knighthood. Not only a new uniform, the uniform of glory, but a new knighthood, the order of chivalry for the royal family or church age believer. Revelation 2:17, to the winner, this is halfway through the verse, to the winner, the mature believer decorated with the morning star, I will give him blessing from the hidden manna, that's blessing in time, from maximum doctrine resident in the soul. And I will give him a white pebble, a vote of confidence, that is the resurrection body. Furthermore, on that pebble, on the resurrection body, has been written a new name, a title of knighthood, an honor belonging to those who hold the highest of all decorations, the order of the morning star. A new name written, which no one knows except he who receives it. He alone knows his place in the eternal order of chivalry. Point six, we're dealing with the profile of the winner. Point six, the winner returns with Christ at the second advent. All church age believers return with Christ at the second advent, winners and losers. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. But those who are winners come wearing their decoration, the order of the morning star, having been knighthooded, having received knighthood, and having a uniform of glory. On those winners of the morning star, there will be the uniform of glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. On the occasion when Christ our life shall become a manifest. That's the second advent. You also, winners of the morning star, believers who advance to maturity, and also wear in the future the uniform of glory. You also shall become manifest with him, with Christ at the second advent, in glory, wearing the uniform of glory, a special reward for winners only. Winners will also be involved in the Operation Footstool and our Lord's triumphal procession. After A.D. 70 of the church age, Israel no longer functions as a client nation. The church age began roughly between 30 and 32. I lean toward 30 because that gives 40 years of warning of the coming of the fifth cycle of discipline and the system of warning, evangelism in a foreign language, the gift of tongues. And then after those 40 years, never again was it used. So that the tongues movement today is strictly, completely, and totally evil. From 70 AD, we have the times of the Gentiles. Only a Gentile nation can function as a client nation to God. In 70, the first one was SPQR. Today, in 1982, it is UPR. SA. We have a lot in common with SPQR, which should make the study of Revelation fascinating. Then comes the rapture, which we have just noted, the end of the church age. There will be no client nations during the tribulation that follows. Instead, 144,000 individual Jewish evangelists will take the place, Jewish evangelists and Bible teachers will take the place of a client nation. Then comes the second advent, just noted. Christ returns, winners return with him in the uniform of glory. And at that time, there will be a coup d'etat, and Satan will be set aside. There will be a triumphal procession, Operation Footstool, and the winners will be involved in that as well. So the winner is going to be involved at Operation Footstool. Psalm 110:1 describes it this way, "The Lord, God the Father, has said to my Lord, God the Son, sit down at my right hand," that's a prophecy in the Psalms of the ascension and session of our Lord, "sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet," second advent. Operation Footstool begins at the second advent and includes the termination of the Armageddon campaign of the tribulation, which we will study later, the baptism of fire, which separates believer from unbeliever, the coup d'etat in which Satan loses the rulership of planet Earth. Both Satan and all fallen angels will be incarcerated for 1,000 years to make room for a perfect environment in the millennium. The importance of Psalm 110:1 is noted from the numerous quotations in the New Testament. Matthew 24:22, Mark 12:36, Luke 20:43, Acts 2:35, Hebrews 1:13, Hebrews 10:13, just to mention a few. Operation Footstool includes the three phases of the triumphal procession. The actual procession itself is recorded numerous times because it was such a prominent thing in Roman history. Those who had the greatest impact historically were allowed the triumphal procession. Our Lord's triumph relates to his victory over two categories of his enemies, angelic and human. The unbelievers of the tribulation are dealt with in the baptism of fire. In the triumphal procession, the prisoners and the booty always came first. The prisoners include Satan and all the fallen angels who have functioned under Satan's command since Genesis 6. Next in the procession comes the triumphant general, a council, a tribune. Later on, of course, a ruler, a Caesar. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes in the triumphal procession. Then follows the army, the royal family of God. Church age believers in resurrection bodies. Losers, just there. Winners, wearing the Order of the Morning Star on the uniform of glory. Some of the royal family are winners and some are losers. They will all be there. In the triumphal procession of the second advent, all the demons who serve under Satan are disarmed for a public exhibition, Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed demon archons, that is demon generals, and demon commissioned officers, he, Christ, at the second advent, made a public display of them, having celebrated a triumphal procession over them by means of it, that is the strategic victory of the cross in the first advent. At the end of the triumphal procession, it always ended up in Rome by the Mamertine dungeon. And at the end, of course, the prisoners were put in the dungeon. Sometimes they were executed, as in the case of the famous chieftain of Gaul, Vercingetorix. In this case, we have 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 25. The prisoners, the demons, will be cast into prison. 1 Corinthians 15, 23, each man, each believer in his own battalion. Christ the first fruits, Alpha Company. After that, those who are Christ at his company, coming, Bravo Company of the royal family, the rapture. Verse 24 then gets into our subject. Then the end, that is the end of the tribulation, which is the second advent of Christ. Then the end when he, Christ, delivers up the kingdom even to God the Father. Christ takes the rulership of the world from Satan, gives it to God the Father, who in turn gives it back to him through a coronation. When he, Christ, is abolished, all rule, the rule of Satan, and all authority, the dictators of the tribulation, and all power, the removal of all demons from planet Earth, as per Zechariah 13:2 and Colossians 2:15. For he must reign, our Lord must reign, 1,000 years, the millennium, until he has put all enemies under his feet. Then the final part of this triumphal procession is the incarceration of Satan, described in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss. That's the Mamertine dungeon for this triumphal procession. Also a great chain in his hand. And he seized the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and incarcerated him for 1,000 years. And threw him into the abyss, which he both shut and sealed until the 1,000 years were finished. So the winners will be there in the triumphal procession, and their significance, wearing the decorations, the uniform of glory, the new knighthood, the crown of life, the order of the morning star. What is really tragic is that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, these decorations are open to you in the future, but you're certainly going to have to change your attitude toward Bible doctrine. So point 8, the winner is also at the coronation of Christ and the wedding supper which follows. Revelation 19, 6 through 8. In Revelation 19, 6, the winners will be at the coronation, have prominent places at the coronation of our Lord. And I heard, as it were, the sound of a great crowd of people, the church-age believers and resurrection bodies, winners and losers. And as the sound of many waters, the Old Testament believers who now have resurrection bodies because they received them at the second advent with tribulational martyrs. These are the friends of the groom of John 3:29. And the sound, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, these are the believers of the tribulation who survive to the coming of Christ. They will form a nucleus, a cadre, for the population explosion of the millennium. They are said to be the friends of the bride in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And this is what they're all saying, praise the Lord, because the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the total ruler, has now become king. Next, in verse 7, we have the wedding supper of the Lamb. And let us be extremely happy. There are degrees of happiness in heaven, maximum happiness going to the winner of the morning star. Let us be extremely happy and celebrate with maximum happiness. Let us give glory to him. Christ is the groom who has just been crowned ruler of the world, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that is the church, has made herself ready. That would be the judgment seat of Christ, and for morning star winners, presentation in the court of heaven during the time of the tribulation. Verse 8, also it shall be given to her that she, the church, the bride of Christ, should be clothed in fine linen. Now, fine linen belongs to winners and losers. It includes all believers of the church age, winners and losers alike. Hence, it is not the same as the uniform of glory. It is rather the imputed righteousness received of salvation parlayed into ultimate sanctification at resurrection. All winners and losers receive the benefit of ultimate sanctification. But there is a difference. For some, there is something bright, and that comes next, bright. This part is limited to Morning Star winners who are also given the uniform of glory. And unsoiled, for Morning Star winners, the uniform of honor in time is exchanged at the judgment seat of Christ for the uniform of glory. You see, the uniform of glory means those who wear it are going to rule nations for 1,000 years. Now, the fine linen has to be explained. The uniform of glory is obvious from other passages. Now, the fine linen is the ultimate righteousness, the resurrection body minus the old sin nature of the saints, the royal family of God. And he communicated to me, right, happiness belongs to the ones who have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Maximum happiness, of course, for winners, those who receive at the judgment seat of Christ the order of the morning glory. And three categories of people are invited. The bride, church-age believers, winners and losers, but emphasis on the prominence belonging to the mature believer who holds the order of the morning star and wears the uniform of glory at the wedding feast. Secondly, the friends of the groom, the Old Testament saints, with special emphasis on Moses and Elijah, who were martyrs in the tribulation as well. Revelation 11:3 describes them as the two witnesses. And finally, invited to the wedding supper are the friends of the bride, the tribulational believers who are alive at the second advent. This cadre of believers forms the nucleus for that population explosion of the millennium. Point 9. The authority of the order of the morning star in the millennium, or when anonymous heroes are going to become well-known heroes. By the way, the Order of the Morning Star is available to you. All you have to do is just grow in grace, take in doctrine, reside and function in the divine dynasphere as you have been taught for the last, well, next week, 32 years from this pulpit. The authority of the Morning Star in the millennium is described in Revelation 2, 26 through 28, the passage we're about to embark on. And so the winner, even he who keeps my assignments until the end, that is the end of phase 2, to him I will give authority over the nations. Notice that when Jesus Christ rules the world under perfect environment of the millennium, there will still be nationalism, not internationalism. And nations will be ruled by some who are sitting here this morning. I'm talking about your future in history. You will actually be the ruler of a nation in the millennium. And not only that, you'll have 1,000-year rule. You say you're not qualified now? You will be then. Verse 27, and so he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule them with an iron scepter. No horsing around. Criminals will be executed immediately. With an iron scepter. And the iron scepter is described. There will be capital punishment under the perfect environment of the millennium. As pots made of clay are shattered. That's capital punishment in the millennium. As I also have received authority from my Father. Furthermore, I will give to him, the one who's going to rule, the order of the morning star, the highest decoration for historical impact and spiritual maturity in the church age. Point 10. The function of the morning star in the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them. These are those who hold the morning star and wear the uniform of glory. And judgment, or and rulership, was given to them. They are going to rule for 1,000 years as the most famous rulers in history. Point 11, the privilege of the Morning Star decoration in the eternal state. Certain privileges not only are related to history, but certain privileges are related to eternity. And in the eternal state, there will be the ultimate in eternal happiness. There are degrees of happiness in eternity. And the ultimate in eternal happiness is the privileged access to the gazebo and the garden, which we have studied in Revelation 2:7. To the winner, I will give him the privilege of eating from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Now that's in eternity. The one who holds the morning star and wears the uniform of glory, and only that person, will be permitted into the gazebo in the garden. The privilege of eating that the tree of life in the paradise of God. The highest order of eternal chivalry in the new knighthood of Revelation 2:17. To the winner, I will give him blessing from the hidden manna, and I will give him a white pebble. That's the resurrection body. Furthermore, on that pebble has been written a new name which no one knows except the one who has received it. There's the new order of knighthood. And in chapter 3, we anticipate several other special privileges that go with this decoration. For example, a pillar in the temple. You have to remember that in the ancient world, temples like the one in Ephesus had special pillars in which a famous king was allowed to write in gold, having gold tablets overlaying the pillar, and give the story of why he was famous. He also would put jewels and other valuable things into that pillar so that when people walked through that temple, they would see a history book, not as we have history books made of paper, but out of a pillar. And there is a history book that will last forever and ever and ever. It is the pillar in the temple of heaven. And on that pillar will be the name, the knighthood, the decorations. And it will be a permanent history as to who was really important in this life. Now you can be really important, anonymously so. You can save this country. No one else can do it. Only you. And the very fact that you are the product of your own decisions, and you have made decisions against the Word of God, is indicative of the fact that you are a loser. But there are some who have and will continue to persist in the perception of Bible doctrine. And these are the only names that will be written in the history book of heaven forever. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we dedicate the closing moments of our study this evening to those of you who are here without Christ, without hope, without eternal life. We want you to know that Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when he went to the cross. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, has already been judged. It was imputed to Christ on the cross and judged. It is described as spiritual death. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ took our place. He was judged in our stead. So that right where you sit right now, you can have eternal life. You can have eternal life by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is available to you right where you sit, right now. In the privacy of your soul, without being audible, forming the sentences simply in your thinking, you can tell God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ, and that's the moment of eternal salvation for you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Your attitude toward Jesus Christ determines your eternal future. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.